Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there still remains this skepticism about what happened with Mitch and why was he benched and was he benched? Did he get hurt? And I think I thought Matt Nagy did a pretty decent job of talking it through. But again, unfortunately, the way that they handled it in game and the way that they failed to sort of alert the broadcast crew led to this skepticism and this sort of national story that it's the end of the Trubisky era. I just thought there was almost an overreaction, but, you know, the Bears get themselves in trouble with these things. They just get themselves in trouble.
Well, as Al Michaels said during the broadcast, word from Bears PR, no word. and yeah, that's sort of what set it off. And it's certainly, you know, a problem in how they handle perception and all those things. The problem is that the real root of the problem here, guys, is he played poorly enough to get him to be benched, right? You know, I mean, that's the real issue here.
Yeah,
that he played terribly again. The Bears have broken below the 5.0 barrier in yards per attempt. They're now at 4.9 to rank 32nd in the National Football League. I don't know. You know, you've got the Mendoza line in baseball. Do they have like the Avellini line in football, or the Bobby Douglas line? The Henry Burris line. I don't know.
Bears quarterbacking? You mean in terms of Bears quarterback acceptability? You got to have a little higher than that. It's the Krenzel line, right?
Oh boy!
Or as he was famously referred to on this station, Krenzler.
Krenzler, Krenzler. Brad, moving forward though, okay. No matter if he plays on Sunday or whatever his health situation is going into practice this week, what can be gained from seeing Mitch play the final six games of this season? What would we learn that we don't know?
The front office and the people who have made an investment in Mitch Trubisky are viewing this with a different lens than the public. And when I say the public, I mean the fans, the media, you know, basically everyone outside of Hallis Hall. So they're looking at this certainly differently. They're trying not to be affected by the noise. And it may take another six games for them to reach a conclusion here that adjustments to the roster at that position need to be made for 2020. So I think that's what's to be gained here. You're still talking about a younger quarterback. You still have a situation depth chart wise where there's not unknown upside with the number two. So you're going to turn things over to Chase Daniel for the benefit of what?
Yeah, there's no benefit there. I mean, there's absolutely no future for him at that position in this town. I mean, it's never going to be Chase Daniel's team. It's never going to be I mean, you'd be better off going with Tyler Bray if that's the move you want to make. But
trust me, you don't want to do that.
And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't give you the best chance to win. So if Mitch is able to play, you go with Mitch, and hopefully he proves to be a better upside, a better player than Daniel Jones on a pretty bad team. And then you try to build something, and then you go into Detroit and try to actually stack a couple wins. And if you can do that, maybe you feel differently. Maybe you start feeling happier. I mean, we all know what's happened this year, and there are major issues with this thing. But why vary from the plan now? Why change everything that you were hoping to get accomplished? I don't understand why you'd change quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I don't think they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're not going to. And the people who are suggesting that's a possibility, I don't think they've closely looked at the body of work of Chase Daniel. You know, he was hired to kind of be this caddy. And he got paid a lot of money to do that. And the Bears weren't expecting to be in a situation where their quarterback was going to fall on his face. And unfortunately, that's happened for him. You know, I get a text from a coach in the NFC, a defensive coach in the NFC, an assistant, the other night while I'm sitting in the press box, and he says that Trubisky's 15th out of 16 starting quarterbacks in the NFC, like right now. And he says Kyle Allen of the Panthers is the only guy he'd put below Trubisky. And I said, well, what about Dwayne Haskins in Washington? He says, well, you know, Haskins is still got some upside. You'd want to see what could be developed there. I mean, so that.
Well, here's what I think is interesting, Brad, though. I mean, and you point out that there's a divide between what the public is feeling about Mitch and what they are internally. I just wonder, do you believe that the evaluation is still ongoing? And, you know, these final six games will help determine what they think about their quarterback. And would that be the same conclusion for the coach that it is for the general manager?
Well, and that's a great question. And that one is what's really going to shape the future, because Nagy can't go out and pick the players in the offseason, and Pace can't go out and coach them up. So they've got to be on the same page there. I don't think Ryan Pace and his staff, those people aren't blind to what's happened at the quarterback position through 10 games, but they're also not knee-jerk reactionary when it comes to these things either. And so they've got a 16-game season. You evaluate the entire season. You don't evaluate September and October or weeks 1 through 11, you evaluate the entire thing. And so with six games remaining, you know, Mitch has got, heck, he's got more than a third of the schedule left to show something, and you might as well take it all in before you've got to make a decision, which is what they're going to have to do beginning in January.
I started jotting down some names yesterday because we know that the best quarterbacks in the league are Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. But start looking at some of the young guys, right? You start talking about what Lamar Jackson's doing and Watson. Even, I don't know where you're at with Darnold. Has he done enough to make you feel like that might be a guy with a future? I'm not even sure. Kyler Murray, Mahomes, Derek Carr is still the same age as Jimmy Garoppolo, Dak Prescott, Wentz. You start adding up, it's almost like a golden age of quarterbacking going on. And you got guys coming out of college that will be drafted very high well before the Bears get there. And you're talking like maybe 20 teams are well ahead of you now in terms of how you're going to be able to win. How do you balance that with what you need to see in order to move forward here at that position?
Well, I think you've just got to zero in on your guy, what he's done in the career trajectory, the arc. You know, where was he at when you got him? Where's he at with your coaching staff? Mitch is going to have two seasons with these guys. I think you really have to try to dial in on your guy and not pay attention to what's happening elsewhere. And you know, it's the it's the rise of these other young quarterbacks, most especially Mahomes and Watson, but mm-hmm. others as well. Lamar Jackson now. Yeah. Kyler Murray's had two mm-hmm. pretty darn good games against a top-notch 49ers defense in the last month. You look at these young guys who are just sort of popping up and playing consistently good football, and that's what really changes the narrative for the Bears, whether they wanted to admit it back in September or October. I mean, this thing hasn't turned around for them, and they've got a bad Giants team coming in this week. Then they go to Detroit, which is a winnable game. The Lions have dropped, what, 6 out of the last 7, I think. I bet they want, like heck, for Trubisky to be out there with an opportunity to
win,
succeed, do something positive. Because everything that you said is valid, and every one of those quarterbacks that you mentioned has one thing in common. They're various levels of accomplishment, but they have one thing in common. They have a special trait that distinguishes them. They have the word special has been used to describe what they've seen and then provided on the field. They're still waiting for special and Mitch Trubisky to be together in the same sentence. And
that might be part of the profile with him that the Bears missed on from the beginning, is that he's not great at any one thing.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't have some trait that just absolutely jumps out at you when you're evaluating the performance, and if that was the case at North Carolina, it's certainly the case now that he's in the National Football League.
Okay, so Daniel Jones comes in here, right? Danny Dimes.
What, you can call him Danny Dimes.
Yeah. Where are you at with him? I mean, would you rather have him than Mitch? Does he have a much brighter future than Mitch?
I don't.
It's my point.
Yeah,
but they're a losing team. And you're probably going to beat them, right? 6.5-point favorites?
Them. Yeah, they should beat them. Does he have a brighter future? I don't know. I think there's still optimism with him. There's still unknown. There's still a belief that you've got the potential to develop him.
He hasn't broken your heart yet.
Yeah, it's not that. I think that's the fan perspective. It's just, you know, Mitch has had a bunch of starts, and you just haven't seen him be able to consistently play good football. Now, Daniel Jones has been a turnover machine. He's particularly a problem when it comes to fumbling the football.
Yep.
I mean, there's some real core basic things he needs to clean up in his game, and I'm sure the Bears defense is already well aware of chances for them to create some takeaways here. The Giants are near the bottom of the league in turnover ratio. I want to say they're minus 12.
15 giveaways in 9 games.
Yeah, it's more fumbles than it is picks.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him because I'd feel like there's a chance that the light's going to come on. It's pretty dim with Trubisky.
Hmm.
Thanks, all right, Brad. Buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
We got to talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think he's a good point, because with Daniel Jones, you still have the potential that you can cling to. With Mitch Trubisky,
you have the unknown.
Well, it's potential versus production, and the production for Mitch has been disappointing. The potential for Jones still exists.
That's the unknown makes him a more desirable candidate than the known.
Always.
Awful? Always.
Always in sports.
Teddy Bridgewater, would you put him in that group? Could he be a guy?
Oh, he's a guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying.
You talking about next year?
I'm saying if you had him under center or in the shotgun, whatever way Matt Nagy has to run it, with the Bears defense, could you make some serious noise?
Remember what you just said about the unknown? Anybody that you mention that you don't know how he's going to perform in Chicago would be more exciting than the idea
James
of bringing
Winston.
No, okay.
All right. Not anybody.
All right. I checked myself there.
312-644-6767 is Molly and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm calling specific plays and monitoring it. And that's when, once I saw the last three and out that he had, that's when everything happened then. And it was before they scored that touchdown to make it 10. Chase was going in with, if they would have kicked the field goal, regardless, Chase was going in.
For whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
For whatever reason, I find that amusing.
Yes, of course.
It is amusing.
That was Al Michaels on the broadcast. You heard Matt Nagy explaining that he was calling plays, and he noticed that Mitch was having an issue with his
hip. I also find it a little hard to believe. The only thing that he said yesterday that I found a little implausible, it didn't appear that Chase Daniel was prepared to go into that game. And I don't mean like how he looked after he got into the game. I mean more so on the sidelines. It almost looked like it was a rushed experience.
Who, me?
Like, wait, now? I'm going in now?
Like, he said he warmed up.
Yeah, I don't know.
We weren't there to see it.
So, in fairness, I can't say that I was watching the Bears sideline. At the same time, nothing that we did see convinced me that, like, oh, yeah, this was the plan all along.
All right, we got a lot of people that have waited a long time that have things to say. So, let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Aaron. Aaron is listening on radio.com. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, man. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm loving this because everything that you guys said about the Bulls, I can say about Matt Nagy. Listen, gentlemen, I'm not saying Mitch isn't a problem because he is. But Matt, problem last year when I got laughed off this show, they went 12-4 in spite of Matt Nagy. His play calling puts Mitch in bad situations. Now, Mitch misses throws. We can all agree on that. But this guy's play calling puts Mitch in bad situations. He refuses to run the football, which would make any young quarterback look good. You know what I'm saying? So Matt Nagy is more of the problem than Mitch Trubisky is. You know, Matt Nagy and not finding a kicker who can hit a 55-yarder or a 48-yard field goal consistently is more of a problem than Mitch Trubisky. You can win with Mitch Trubisky if you run the football. He doesn't want to run the football. So every time Mitch misses a throw, it's five times worse because he refuses to run the football. If Mitch does 15 things well, he do those 15 things and run the football the other 22 times. With that defense, you have a, 10-6, 11-5 record. Hmm. But Matt Nagy does not coach the game in front of him. He didn't do it last year. He doesn't do it this year. He does not coach the game in front of him. He does not adjust to what other people are doing. And if it's written down on his little magic wand piece of paper, he's got to call it. Come on, guys. 3rd and 1, and you're calling an option play, and you drafted a running back. 3rd and 1, and
good
you're
phone
calling
call.
An option play.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron, thank you. That's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
He's making some there's some truth to what he's saying. And you know, here is the problem. The what we're missing here, the evidence we're missing, is we're not able to see what Matt Nagy can do without Mitch Trubisky, because I don't think that Chase Daniel helps you when he comes in. So we don't know how good he is or what he can do. And we can't see Mitchell Trubisky with the things you're calling for, a running game and a better offensive line and running out of under center as opposed to the shotgun, whatever it might be. So we don't know how either guy would operate without each other.
The two things he said that resonate the most with me is, number one, I do believe that the kicking issue has made these other problems more acute, because if you have a good kicker, it does erase a lot of things. And I think you're looking at a different record in a different context season.
If you were leading that game 9-0, it would have been a different
totally
game.
Totally different. The other thing is, I think I wondered this, and I thought about this yesterday as well.
When's the last time the Bears had a lead?
Good question. We'll have research that at the break. When you look at this season in its totality at the end of it, I do wonder if these final six games, if the biggest problem of this offense won't be the quarterback. And I know that that sounds kind of crazy to consider, given all that we've said about how he's the great eraser, and he can be. And I still believe that. But this offensive line has been so bad and so disappointing and is such an issue because of all those things that we talk about.
And because you paid all the guys.
You paid all these guys, and they're still not performing at a level up to their salary, and
you paid
it's acceptable.
For either mediocrity or below mediocrity.
And if you had an offensive line performing to a level that was acceptable, you'd be able to run the ball. You'd be able to have a David Montgomery having 100-yard games after 100-yard games, and your quarterback might be different, might be better, and you might give him a chance.
Let's get to Dan. He's on the road. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, if Mitch is injured, what's the benefit of playing him the last 6 weeks? Now, I'm no doctor, but if he has a hip pointer, how long does it take to heal? Do you guys know?
He should be able to play this week.
Depends on severity.
Yeah, it all depends. I've had hip pointers. You've had hip pointers. It's unpleasant, but you can play. David's in Chicago. Good morning, David.
Hi, David.
Good morning. All I heard about when Nagy was hired, how he hired this offensive line coach from Notre Dame, and
that
how he's the great
year.
Guru.
Yeah.
If he's so good, why are we so bad?
Well,
I mean, our offensive line is pathetic.
Thanks, David. The problem is talent. It's not, Cody Whitehair's having a good year because Cody Whitehair can play.
I don't know that I can hold the
Harry
shortcomings
Heistand.
Of Bobby Massey
right.
and Chuck Leno Jr. against Harry Heistand.
No.
The track record for Harry Heistand says that he should be part of something that is greater than this, but he hasn't been. That's not all on him.
Let's try Jerry. He's in Lincolnshire. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, 3 years ago, give or take, Pace drafted a stud quarterback, a real stud quarterback. He's gone to hell.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, look, he's gone to hell because I think it's Nagy.
Well, he wasn't getting a hell of a lot pushed in the first year, right? And then we blame that on the coordinator then. I don't know.
But do you remember that?
I think, yeah, Dowell Hogan.
No, I mean, do you remember 2000? But his rookie year, you felt about Mitch the way we were talking about Daniel Jones.
You felt, exactly. You felt like there was possibility.
Yeah.
But he needed help.
There was potential.
But I think, we keep having people, why the hell did you draft this guy? Why did you draft this guy? Ryan Pace, his experience was Drew Brees. He was looking for the next Drew Brees, and this is what he came up with. So that's why he drafted him.
And
that's
the special quality that he has yet to show that I was talking about earlier, coming out of college, believe it or not, they said that his strength was his accuracy.
Yes, and he's accurate on the move.
But they haven't put him on the move enough this year. Maybe that's because of his, physically he's been limited, maybe because of the injury, but you need to see that more if he can.
Well, now he's got the hip pointer, David.
Yeah, I think, obviously the head coach is going to get criticized when the team underperforms, but Matt Nagy made Mitch look good last year so many times and had people fooled thinking that he was actually the guy. I think that's more of a credit to Nagy than a discredit to him this year, if I'm explaining
I'm not buying
that
into the narrative that Matt Nagy ruined Mitch Trubisky, no.
There was nothing to ever ruin.
Yeah.
He just was never any good in the first place. And that game against Tampa last year, fooled everybody.
All right, we're going to switch gears and talk to Casey Johnson next.
Banks it in!
KC
Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. KC Johnson joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. KC, of course, covering the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago and doing a fine job as always. Hey, KC, how are you?
Morning, KC.
Morning, guys. Sorry for the miss earlier. I just want to know what it felt like to be a Bulls three-pointer.
Well played.
I got to tell you, we've been arguing about it all morning, but this has got to be the most entertaining 4-10 team I've ever seen. I understand how bad, you know, the Lowry Markkanen has been no damn good. I get it. And Zach LaVine's been up and down. But I'm digging that second team. I really am having fun watching the games. They're in every game. They lose every game, but they're in every game.
And I've never been more frustrated watching the Bulls, KC.
Yeah, I got to go with David on this one, Mully. I get that there's some exciting parts, and Kobe's been fun, and Daniel Gafford obviously played lights out last night in his first meaningful action. But I think this is pretty troubling because you point to this season as the season to emerge and start kind of making progress in the rebuild. John Paxson, when they made the Otto Porter trade, said, you know, this is because we need to be relevant again. And, you know, they then announced that basically every offseason move is to pave the way for Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine to ascend towards stardom. And those two players are doing exactly the opposite. And I don't know if it's the players underperforming, you know, regression by them, lack of development by the coaching staff, misjudging of talent by management. Maybe it's a combination thereof. And I know it is only 14 games, so you can't overreact too much. But when a coach admits that he thought about writing the second unit down the stretch over your two so-called core pieces, that to me is a pretty big red flag.
Never worry about Zach LaVine's confidence. I think you heard on Saturday night, or were reminded that, you know, this is a confident guy and he'll be fine. Markkanen is a different story, KC. You heard hesitation last night. He doesn't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. How concerned should the Bulls be about his state of mind?
Yeah, that's you're spot on there, David. That to me is the first time that Lowry has kind of peeled back the curtain and kind of shown us him being a little bit broken mentally right now. You know, there's that one sequence, guys, where he missed two dunks on the same possession, one in kind of a mild contest, and one, you know, basically he thought the guy was going to jump, and he didn't, and he just missed a dunk. You know, on the one hand, you want to applaud him and recognize a guy who not much is falling for him right now, so he's trying to aggressively attack the basket. On the other hand, when that second dunk missed, he had a body language, and I'm not a big body language guy. I think it's totally overrated. I think we tend to psychoanalyze too much in our business, but this one was so palpable and so real that it was hard to miss. I mean, he shrugged his shoulders and kind of rolled his eyes to the roof of the United Center, like, what? Why me? And what's next? I mean, he just looks like a broken player right now, and it's tough to see because you know how much he cares, you know how much he puts the work in. But he admitted to us in that post game session that he is frustrated, and he's never had a stretch like this in his basketball playing career, and you know that's a pretty big statement.
Has Lowry had a stretch like this? Because he is just god awful.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lowry.
Oh, Zach, I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking about Zach.
No, I'm sorry, Zach. You know, he is a guy who's always going to put up the bravado and the front, and he never lacks for confidence. And he was not as, I mean, he was not effective last night, but he was not as.
But
as
he bad thinks as that. He thinks he's the superstar. Sorry, you know what I mean? That's the problem he has. There are times when he's taking shots where you just kind of like, don't take over the game because you can't right now.
Well, and that's kind of what I was talking about before. When you try, you know, the question I get all the time is, whose fault is this? And you know, I get from fans or you know, colleagues or you know, just sitting in the media room talking, you know, whose fault is this? The players, the coaches, or management? Well, you know, obviously it's anytime a professional sports team is floundering, it's a shared effort, right? But that's kind of what I'm talking about, Mully, is that, you know, the management portion of this is, if this continues, have they misjudged these guys? Is Zach a number one? Because that's the position he's in on this team right now. He has to be a number one. Is he cut out for that role? He certainly thinks he is. And I personally thought the edge that he was playing with in the preseason, and I know how much not making the All-Star game bothered him last year, I personally thought he was just going to explode this season. I thought he was going to just totally take off, and it's just been a regression this season to this point, no doubt.
Casey, the big story last night, Daniel Gafford, he scores 21 points in 20 minutes. He did enough to justify making him part of the rotation moving forward. Will that happen, and why haven't we seen him sooner?
Good questions again. We have to assume he's going to be in the rotation, not only is because of the way he played, but Luke Kornet is going to be out right for a little bit here. Now, Jim had dropped to that three-big-man rotation. He was kind of a little bit back and forth on whether or not that was because Kornet's health or Kornet's play. Ultimate takeaway was it was a combination thereof. So I asked him pregame, does that mean you're going to go back to a four-big-man rotation? And pregame, he said, we'll see. You know, I would like to think that he saw enough from Gafford that four-big-man rotation is going to stick because he was just incredible. I mean, his skills translate. He runs the floor hard. He tries to dunk everything. I mean, that's not a bad combination. He set some good screens too. I mean, it wasn't just the highlight reel dunks. He set good screens. He ran the floor. He got back on defense. So he has to be still in the rotation. As to why we haven't seen him yet, you know, Jim said pregame that the math says that Luke Kornet is a winning basketball player. Obviously, Luke Kornet has not played well to this point. The math meaning that, you know, Luke is a big analytics guy because he takes a lot of threes for a big and he protects the rim. Now, he wasn't in a rim-protecting role defensively because of their pick-and-roll scheme mostly took him away from the basket where he was up blitzing high, so we hadn't seen a lot of that. And then three-point shooting was just off like the rest of the teams. Now, Jim did say that this sinus situation was affecting him more than the Bulls let us know publicly. So we'll see once he gets clear of the surgery and back up and running if he can make an impact. But until then, you know, Gafford certainly deserves another opportunity.
Is Otto Porter Jr. like floating around anywhere? Is he on his way back? Because when they brought him in last year, he seemed to kind of solidify things a little bit. And I was expecting, well, I mean, I know he's hurt, but I mean, have we even seen him? Is he floating around?
Right, and that's why you don't want to, you know, you do want to leave a little wiggle room for two reasons. You know, they are missing a pretty critical starter right now, and then the East is just so bad that, you know, they could win three games and be in the playoff picture. Put together a three-game win streak and be in the playoff picture. Now their schedule's about to get tougher, and Otto was actually not, I'm sorry, he wasn't playing incredibly great at the start of the season.
No.
Had started to get together a little bit before his injury, but you know all we keep hearing, Mully, is that this is a soft tissue thing, and you know those can be pretty tricky with no timetable set. I asked him directly about surgery. He said he has never heard that word once, and I said weeks or months, and he said weeks. So that's all we're working with right now, Mully.
Sometimes when you try to get guys going, you have to use them in different roles, and I don't know what that means in terms of Markkanen and Levine, but what about with this overall team? Kobe White is so good with the second unit, you don't want to move him. At the same time, if starting him might trigger something or someone else, would you consider that? Do you think he's going to be destined to be part of that second unit moving forward, KC, or could he start?
I'm a hard no on the start Kobe movement. I get the question a lot. I think he's in the perfect role for a 19-year-old, and I love how the Bulls have used him. Here's why I think they've done it right. He's come in and he's mostly up against second unit guys initially. If he's hot, he's closed games. So in the fourth quarter of the Memphis game, they won on the road. He was out there. The Knicks game, obviously, he was out there. The Bucks game, he was out there. The one up in Milwaukee.
Right.
If he's hot or got a roll in or is making an impact, Jim closes with him, and that's fine for him right now. He doesn't need to start. He's a raw talent scorer is what he is. He's not a complete basketball player. And I do like how he competes defensively. I don't want to just paint him as a shot maker. He at least tries to fight over screens. He's got positional size. I think putting him in that first unit would only exacerbate the struggles of Levine and Market. And right now you've got a low-usage distributor in Satoransky. He complements those guys better. You have to get Levine and Markkanen going, or this season is a complete failure.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Coby White. I also think that it's good to see Wendell Carter Jr. He's healthy, and you see why they drafted him. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, there are bright spots here. Yeah. Like I said, the East is so awful that you know you string together three wins, and you're in the fifth, sixth, seventh seed picture. The reason I came out so strong at the top of this hit was I thought the Levine and Markkanen thing last night was so telling that, right. Jim was that's about as damning of a comment as you will hear Jim make, who is a pretty supportive guy of his guys. He said, they have on their side, meaning Giannis, they have a guy they can throw the ball to and they know they're going to get a basket. We're still searching for that guy.
Ouch.
We're in year three of the rebuild. Levine and Markkanen are supposed to be those guys. And right now, for whatever reason, Zach's obviously done it some games. Lowry hasn't shown up yet this season, and neither of them did it last night. So that's why I thought it jumped out last night.
KC, thanks a ton. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks
good
a lot.
Good stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. Levine and Markkanen have to impact outcomes more than they have. They're 4-10.
Well, they're not impacting anything. They're impacting outcomes because they're not playing well.
Yeah. Combining for 20 points against the Bucks is not going to get it done. Not going to get it done against anybody, especially when those are supposedly your top two players.
They do miss Otto Porter Jr., though, in terms of just solidifying.
Yeah,
they're starting Chandler Hutchinson.
A steadying presence, I think, probably. That's a good way to put it. I love the way KC referred to Satoransky. Low-usage distributor.
Yeah, well, he's not going to take over. He's not going to score.
Right.
But, he scored the first 5 points of that game, and then he stops trying to shoot because he is a distributor.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm a low-usage distributor.
I've often been described as low-usage.
All right, we've got Coach Wonstedt in studio next. We're going back to the Bears. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!